Hey, what's up, guys? It's Michael from Family Game Review, and I have here riding shotgun with me our senior game advisor and reviewer, Camille.
Hey, everybody.
And not only is our senior game reviewer, she's also an online marketer. But the reason we have her here today on this podcast is she's going to look at it from a mom/online marketing perspective of what Nintendo's doing. As you may know, this podcast is dedicated to the Nintendo Switch. Yesterday, Nintendo announced all the specs, release dates, and games coming out for the Switch, which will be on March the 3rd. Nintendo's Switch will be retailing at $300. That may be a little bit a lot, but, you know, we're going to kind of dig into that. For now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of talk about what the Nintendo Switch offers. For those that have been under a rock since October, Nintendo Switch is the new console that's coming out that is a tablet/hybrid console, meaning you could play it at home, have it hooked up to your TV, play in 1080p, and you have these wireless controllers that you hook up through a base, and then you could take it on the go. So imagine a tablet that's a gaming console. That's what the Switch is. I could go in more details about that, but I'd rather have you guys go to our website, look at photos, look at some of the videos, and we will have an unboxing on March the 3rd once the console's out. Now, some kind of little bit of tech specs on here. They didn't release much, but the tablet itself has 32 gigabytes of internal memory. It will be expandable, but they didn't say by how much, through micro SD
XDXC cards.
Try saying that five times. Cards, but they haven't specified how much. Also, what's going on is it will be cartridge-based, similar to the DS. Now, that's all great and everything. Now, Nintendo has also announced that the games that will be coming out for the Switch will be The Legend of Zelda, which is my personal favorite, Just Dance, 1-2 Switch, Snipper Clips, IN Sentra, Has-Been Heroes, and Fast RMX. Now, there are other games slated for the console, like Bomberman and everything else, but they don't have an official release date. For those wondering, wait a minute, how's this a Nintendo console without Mario? Mario will be available, but it won't be available till the holiday time of this year. They haven't released much information about it other than the fact that it's going to be coming out sometime fourth quarter of this year, which will be a open world game. I don't want to spoil it too much. There are some videos out there. We will have some videos linked to our blog, which will be published tomorrow. That being said, this is more of a podcast to inform people, especially parents, you know, parents on a budget that we used to talk to. The console itself is $300, okay? And Camille and I were talking about some of the pricing and everything, and, you know, it kind of shocked us on some of the things that Nintendo went with pricing, such as, for a Pro Controller, similar to the Wii U Pro Controller, for the Switch, the controller is $70. Yes, you heard me correctly, $70. Where a pair of the set of the left and right controllers that go, you know, that come with it, that are separate, they could, this is kind of like a two-part function. They could switch to two different players that could play on each one of the controllers, or they could combine together to play as one bigger controller. Again, pictures will be on our website. But that, as a set of two, is $80. Where we have each one of those separate microcontrollers that, you know, I just spoke of, will be $50 each, or $80 as a pair. The docking set, if you want a docking set, like an extra one for like a bedroom, or if, you know, for kids that, you know, and let's be honest, for kids that have, like, they go to their father's house for the weekend, you know, for that are in divorces, you could buy a separate dock for $90. And the charging grip, the charge the controllers itself for $30. Now, when you buy the console, you get an HDMI cord, the power cord, the docking station, and one set of controllers with it. There is no game that comes with the console as of right now. But let's look at the pricing of this. And Camille, I'm going to let them know what the price is just for a barrier of entry to get in. And then I want you to kind of, like, you know, give your intake on it. Now, the other thing Nintendo announced at their press conference was the fact that during the fall of this year, sometime in third quarter, Nintendo is releasing a paid service similar to Xbox Live and PlayStation Network to go online and play. They said that they haven't discussed pricing yet, but as we're speculating at this time, it will possibly be around the $50 to $60 mark. So, for parents out there that have children, you know, more than one kid, and want to get the Switch, this is how much the cost of entry would be. You're looking at the console at $300. An extra set of controllers would cost $80. The subscription to go online would be $60, and a game that would retail around $49 to $59 would be giving the barrier of entry at $500. Let that sink in for a moment. It's going to cost you to get an extra controller and a game and to pay for Nintendo's service later on this year. You're looking at a $500 barrier to entry to get into the Nintendo world for their newest console. That seems like a lot to me, but Camille, you know, you're a mother, you know, mother of two beautiful kids that drive us crazy.
You know, when you say barrier to entry, first of all, we don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's sort of like the ticket price to get in. Parents, don't be fooled and say, oh, just $300. No, you do need to buy some bells and whistles, some accessories to go with it, especially if you have more than one child, and especially if you are, like most modern families are, maybe a divided family, maybe relatives or mom and dad living elsewhere, you are especially going to need those extra accessories. The total cost of entry to get into the new Nintendo Switch is a minimum of $500. We don't get us wrong. We are extremely excited to test out the Switch. I don't think anyone who was, what are we? We're Gen Xers.
We're Gen Xers, people call, like, my parents call me, like, hey, you're a Gen Xer. I'm like, really? You're an old timer. That's what I'm saying.
So anybody who's a Gen Xer, even baby boomers, you probably remember that, in the early video game days, Nintendo was the only word to know. We now live in a world where there's Xbox and there's PlayStation and there's Steam and all of that. So we're really eager and excited to see what's going to happen when Nintendo re-enters the console market, 12 years after the Xbox?
Well, there's been the Wii. If we go down Nintendo's list, like from the early 80s on up, you had the original Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
then Super Nintendo, then the Nintendo 64.
True.
Then the Nintendo GameCube, then the Nintendo Wii, then the Nintendo Wii U. But that's not counting all their handhelds from the Game Boy on, well, the Nintendo, Pocket Watch and going forward, but this is their first major run against Microsoft and Sony in a long time.
And, I'm glad that you brought that up and corrected me, because you're absolutely right. Nintendo has been in the console market, but they've been targeting a different audience, and this is where the marketing geek in me comes alive. The Nintendo Switch, from what we've seen of the gaming list so far, in the past, Nintendo has really targeted the younger kids, rated E for everyone as far as gaming titles. The Switch is, for the first time, a Nintendo console that seems to be capturing the entire household.
Yes, and the reason why that I'm excited and concerned is, if you look at the handheld market with their 3DS, the 2DS, and so forth, Nintendo is king. Let's just be honest about that. There is no number two to Nintendo when it comes to the handheld market. Nintendo is also one of the most kid-friendly consoles out there. Mm-hmm. But what kind of caught my curiosity is, as at the Japanese press conference, there has been a lot of games, that I'm looking at that are now being aimed more towards E to T, like from everyone to teen, where Nintendo's always been that family-friendly console. Now, don't get me wrong, they still are that family-friendly console.
Oh, absolutely.
But at the Japanese conference versus the U.S. conference, it seemed like Nintendo was more aiming at, trying to get those Japanese RPGers in and so forth. Now, the one thing that I can say that I was very happy to hear about, that the console is region-free. So once I believe their paid service comes online and they have like an e-commerce site set up through the Switch, that people will be able, like people that love role-playing games, will be able to go and purchase Japanese RPGs and download it to their console and play them. Now, that's a big plus, especially from Nintendo having an open region.
Actually, Mike, if I could stop on that for a moment, because I think that a lot of parents may not know that, because, you know, even for a while there, after the Nintendo years, I sort of dropped off. I wasn't as savvy about Sony and Microsoft and their offerings. So I think one of the things that a lot of people don't know about games is that there are certain games available in different countries. So if you or your child love role-playing games, there are a slew of games that are available over in Japan that until now you haven't been able to get here in the U.S. And Nintendo is opening that up, so there will be a wider selection because of that cross-border game availability, which is awesome.
Yes, and, you know, I'm looking at the list. There's a lot of RPGs on here, like from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 to, you know, like the new Capcom Ultra Street Fighter 2, where they added Evil Ryu and Violent Ken. And, you know, again, this is where Nintendo is kind of saying, hey, we know we cater to kids, but now we're going to start catering towards, you know, like teens and adults. My personal favorite, Bomberman. I mean, if you ever seen my household, we have had fist fights. We have had, like, families like that disowned each other because of Bomberman. But these are family, you know, Bomberman series has always been a fun game to play multiplayer. Now, for people that have been playing Nintendo for a while, especially the Wii Uers, you know, there has been some games like Splatoon 2 was announced, which is phenomenal. That's one of probably the most kid-friendly multiplayer games I've ever played. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which will be coming out in April, and Fire Emblem's Warriors and Dragon Quest are games that, you know, capture what Nintendo is. What some of the surprises were was Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim and FIFA. Again, we don't know what the incarnation of FIFA will be on the Nintendo Switch. But, you know, EA was very strong about saying, hey, we're going to support, Nintendo. Which brings me up to my next case. If you're a hardcore gamer or just a parent that's just learning what your kid loves, there's a big thing when it comes to independent and third-party development. Now, Nintendo, if you think of Nintendo, you think of Metroid, you think of Mario, Luigi, Pikachu from Pokemon, and so forth. That's their first-party titles. When you think of third-party are things like Mass Effect, Titanfall, Call of Duty, Rayman Legends, games that are made by third-party developers but are available on every console. And Nintendo, over the years, I've always seen, when we go to our local GameStop or any other store that sells video games, you always see strong third-party support for both Microsoft and Sony, but when it comes to Nintendo, it just seems like they've been left out in the wind. And my only concern with the Switch coming out is, you know, Nintendo has assured there's a lot of third-party support, but they've also said that about the Wii U, about the Wii, about the GameCube, about, you know, the Nintendo 64. And it always fell short. So for parents out there, you know, I know every kid's going to be like, ooh, I want the Switch, but, you know, with that cost of entry to get in and everything, it may be too big of a price tag to pay, especially when the console's $300, and at this time of the podcast, you could go out there and get a PlayStation 4 for $249 or an Xbox One.
And keep in mind, from a marketing perspective, I think that Nintendo is now trying to capture the whole household, from parents to kids. And if that's the case and they're successful, plan on spending extra, because you will either be buying two Nintendo Switches, or you're going to be buying a lot of extra controllers and setting some ground rules about who gets to use it when. Because now it's going to be catering to titles of all different demographics. So that's neither a pro or a con, but it is something that you should think about in terms of whether or not to invest.
That's very true. Now, another thing that came up, and I was looking at my notes here for the podcast, is battery life for the Switch. Now, we all know when it's on its docking bay, base, excuse me, not base, bay, on its docking base, it will automatically charge the console itself. But when you take it out on the road, which all of us do when we have kids, they bring their 3DSs or 2DS, the thing that concerned me is Nintendo said that the battery life on the Switch will vary based on game usage. So they set a maximum life of 6 hours. All right, guys, let's be honest. have we ever seen our kid ever complain that there's too much battery life in their console when they bring it out? Almost all of us have some type of charging station or extra battery bank for our kid to keep our devices charged. And I personally feel, this is just me personally feeling about this, that 6 hours may be not enough. Where they said that when they clocked it when playing Zelda remotely, it was only 2.5 hours.
Mm.
And we've, if anyone that's listening to this that's played Zelda, we all know that you cannot, you know, do a session of Zelda within 2 hours and call it quits.
And one of the biggest appealing features of the Nintendo Switch is its convertibility and portability. So if your child is, or you, are playing the game on the TV, and you decide, okay, you know, we're leaving now for a road trip. Let's say it's a 3-hour drive, 4-hour drive. And you put the controllers on the sides of the tablet and hop in the car and get on the road. You're going to have some very unhappy passengers if that battery life runs out.
Yes, that's quite true. Also, with a 6-inch screen and a back seat, again, two people try to play off a 6-inch screen, it may be a little difficult for some of the younger viewers or some older viewers.
Yeah, I was more concerned about the older players, you know.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm very excited about the Switch. Yeah. And the last time I was this excited about any Nintendo console, and this kind of dates me, is back in 1996 when the Nintendo 64 came out and I got to play Super Mario 64. So Nintendo is going in the right direction, but again, you know, parents that are listening to this podcast, we're not Rockefellers. We are not sitting on piles of money and, you know, to say, hey, I could run out and buy, you know, 8 different sets of controllers for the family. This is something where you seriously have to take into consideration. If you already have a console like the PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, you also have to take in factor if you're planning to get one for your kid now or during the holidays, how many other of his or her friends are going to have this console also? You know, also third-party support. Like, you know, every year we all know that there's always a new Call of Duty game or there's a new franchise game that comes out every year. And your children's friends may run out, their parents will run out and get them that for the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One because, you know, hey, they already have that console, they've already made the decision, they're not going to pick up a Switch. That may leave your kid out in the cold. I'm not saying, hey, the Switch is bad, but it is something that you may want to consider.
That's something we honestly won't be able to even think about until we see what the adoption rate is.
Exactly.
You know, how many people do actually end up buying it? There's no way to predict that. But Mike, something else to bring up, storage. How many people know what XDXC cards are?
And that's where we provide education. You know, as again, it's because this is very early in the game. No pun intended. Until we actually get a physical copy of, I mean, the physical unit itself in our hands, which we'll do a unboxing of,
mm-hmm.
we won't even know what's the maximum storage, the minimum storage. Until Nintendo launches their paid service, online service, we won't know how big games will be. I'll give you the best example. Let's say if you purchase an independent title off the Xbox Live Market or the PlayStation Network, it could roughly go from 900 something megabytes to possibly 4 or 5 gigabytes in size, which is pretty small compared to like something like Dishonored 2 or Battlefield 1, which is around 40 to 60 gigabytes with installation. So Nintendo may get away with having a 32 gigabyte internal storage where people would store their favorite games and move on to go. Now, playing devil's advocate, as the Switch is a tablet-based gaming console, some parents will say, yay, I just dropped $400 on an iPad for my kid during the holiday time. Why am I going to drop another $300 on a console when I just got him or her a $400 iPad and most games through the iTunes Store or through the Google Play Store, you know, depending on if it's a tablet for Android or Apple, are far less than, you know, the asking price from $29 to $59.
And they, too, have expandable storage. Well, most. I don't know about,
the,
you know.
The Apples don't, but the Android-based ones do.
Correct. But something to point out, you know, XDXC cards are cool because you can very easily fit 20 of them in your pocket. What's not so cool is, friends, they are not cheap. Mike, roughly speaking,
for a decent card, you're looking at about $50 to $60. Now, I am hoping, this is my hope, and I hope someone from Nintendo's listening, that Nintendo tries to educate the consumer as much as possible about expanded storage, about their online service, and, you know, kind of reinforce to say, hey, look, parents, we know we're asking you to pay a premium, but this is all the things that you get in turn. One thing I personally feel about the gaming industry right now, Nintendo included, after seeing last night's conference from Japan, there's not enough kid-friendly games out there that are being created by first-party developers, such as Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo. Now, Nintendo, we know we have the Pokemon, we have Mario, Super Smash Brothers. I personally would love to see more kid-friendly games for a console that would be more appealing to, like, early childhood to preteen.
And remember, kid-friendly games doesn't mean only played by kids. They're just as much enjoyed by adults, and in fact, they're fabulous stress relievers for adults. So if you're playing a game like, I don't know, Titanfall, Call of Duty, Battlefield, whatever the case may be, and you have some game rage, popping in one of those kid-friendly titles, you can have a ton of fun and just get rid of all that stress.
Believe me, we've done a study. We've actually saw some gamers. I, you know, talked to some of my friends that, you know, adults, you could relate to this. They rage hard if they lose. Mm-hmm. I am one of these people. If you ask Camille, if my Titan gets crushed in Titanfall, I am a raving lunatic. But the minute I put in what I call a stress relief game, just to play for 10 minutes, you know, it automatically just relieves my anger and frustration. Now, getting mad at a video game, people say it's wrong, but it does happen. But I'm hoping that both Nintendo and the third-party developers realize that this console has potential and take advantage of it, both with the portability and with everything that comes with it. Again, my only big concern for family members and, you know, gaming members, it's the cost.
I think that you raised a very good point in that it's all about education, because Nintendo is bringing out a console that's not your traditional idea of a console. It's not a big block that you're going to set underneath your entertainment center on a shelf. It's portable. It can change into different modes. But it's a high cost to entry, and it's really going to be about how well Nintendo educates people on making the most of those features so that people can decide for themselves whether or not the Nintendo Switch is right for them.
Yes, and that I totally agree with. You have to excuse me, my phone was buzzing. Yes, my phone buzzes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, getting back to the Nintendo Switch, again, you know, parents, we are going to do our best here between now and the time of launch to try to, you know, if we find out anything new, we'll post it on our social media sites. Hey, Nintendo just released these types of specs. Again, my biggest hopes and dreams would be that this will bring Nintendo back from the days of old, having great first-party family-friendly content such as Mario, Donkey Kong. You know, like, Sega has done great jobs as of late, and you may disagree. I saw the new Sonic game, like the Sonic Dash that's coming out for the 25th year anniversary. You know, Sega is, you know, pledging their support to the console. I did see a lot of great third-party and independent, you know, developers that were on that list. I am just hoping that Nintendo backs them and we see these great games that we see on the Xbox and PlayStation 4 or even on the PC make its way to the Switch. And I've always been a proponent that it is independent developers that will bring us in the next generation of gaming. And I hope Nintendo adopts indie developers to be more friendly to develop for the Switch.
I would hope the same, definitely, because when it comes to the Xbox and the PS4 and other platforms, if you go through the rest of our reviews and see a lot of our other reviews, most of them are independent. Why? Well, those, you know, blockbuster titles have multi-million dollar budgets, And there are tons of independent developers who have fabulous IPs, you know, game titles that come out, but they don't have those huge marketing budgets. And so we like to review them and educate people about them so that it may be your kid's favorite game that he or she has ever played. But if no one reviewed it, you might not know about it. So we're really hoping that Nintendo embraces the indie developers out there and brings all of that great content to the Switch.
Totally agreed. You know, and again, parents, you know, I ask you to do your due diligence. We'll post links on our blog and our site, you know, so you could do the research yourself also. Because the Switch may be a great addition to your gaming catalog, you know, for you and your family. But then again, for some other parents, you're probably just happy to say, hey, I have a PlayStation 4 for my kids, or I have an Xbox One, and we're happy and content with that. I, you know, only thing I ask for anyone that's listening is just to visit our site, you know, after the blog goes up, and just do your due diligence and just read up on the Switch. You know, again, me being a diehard Nintendo fan since the days of Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt, I have not been this excited about a console release from Nintendo since the Nintendo 64 back in 1996.
And remember that this is definitely a to-be-continued podcast. Why? Because there's limited information available now. We're going to do our best to bring you that new information as soon as we get it. We will bring it to you. So stay tuned, but it's a to-be-continued because there are a lot of unanswered questions. So, Mike, you know, from the listener's perspective, what can we say for sure right now?
For sure, we know that the Switch will come out March 3rd, both in Japan, in Hong Kong, and North America. The pricing, as I stated before earlier on the podcast, you know, $300 for the console and, you know, the controllers and everything, that is a definite. That has been confirmed by multiple sources and Nintendo. The launch titles, we'll have a list of them because they are changing as they're saying there's some in development. But we do know from for a fact that Zelda is going to be a launch title. And that's what is going to be the major driving force for a lot of people to pick it up.
And that because it is a different type of console, you know, do plan on buying some accessories. Don't, you know, save up $300 and then be surprised when you walk into the store and say, well, I need that, and I need that also, and now it's $500.
Yes, so I mean, expect to spend at least $500 total if you have a multi-child home family. And that sounds weird for me to say, because you have to buy another set of controllers, you'll have to buy a game. You can't just buy a console without a game. And then eventually, later on down the year, if your kid wants to get online or you want to get online to play multiplayer, you got to have Nintendo's pay, you know, internet paid service to do that.
Which Nintendo has never done before.
They done a free service, but it's, for parents that try to use it, it's worse to try to read a nuclear launch code. Trust me. Microsoft has set the standard, the gold standard of what an internet service will be. Sony has worked on it, and I'm very happy to say that. But again, we don't have much information, so maybe Nintendo will learn from the competitors and say, hey, this is what we're going to build.
I think, if anything, this is a very important time, because between now, the day after the press conference, until March 3rd, there could be a lot.
There could be a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And the other thing, parents, as you're listening to this, understand that there are, I've spoken to multiple stores, and I can't disclose my, you know, my sources, but Nintendo will have allocations of consoles. So if you cannot get one on March 3rd, it's okay. They will have more. It's just that right now, Nintendo is having a hard time because shortages. They're going to have shortages. So if I were you and you really are set on getting this console, go to your local GameStop or Best Buy, Walmart, Toys R Us, Target, or even Nintendo themselves and see if you could reserve one. Now, Nintendo said they will start taking reserves in Japan on the 20th, if I remember correctly from their press conference, where other locations such as GameStop has already started to take pre-orders. I seriously doubt you may be able to get one, but it doesn't hurt to check around and look. One thing I will say is this. There are people out there that will buy a console and try to flip it for double the amount. Don't buy into that. It is better to wait and pay the MSRP from a retailer than to pay double or sometimes triple the amount for a console and you don't know what the source is, and if you buy it from a third party and it's broken or something's missing, you may lose out on support, and next you know, you have something that you can't do nothing with.
No warranty, no support, you can't pick up the phone, you know, oh, well, I bought it from so-and-so. Well, sorry, we can't help you.
It's better to buy from a reputable, you know, distributor or retail store than to buy from someone that you don't know because you saw them on Craigslist or on Facebook, you know, Facebook ads or something.
And I do think that a good example to bring up is how Nintendo recently brought out that NES Mini Classic, which, yes. I don't care how old you are, that took all of our hearts by storm, right? Yes. You know, a miniature classic Nintendo with all those games preloaded. Everyone wanted one. And one of the things that we saw personally with our own eyes that really upset us were lines a block long outside of stores, and because, like Michael said, there will be allocation issues. So you may go to your local GameStop or your local Best Buy or whatever the store may be, and maybe that store only got 20 Nintendo Switches, and then there's 100 more people in line who are going to be furious. Plan ahead.
Yes.
Know that there are going to be allocation issues. And like Michael said, see if you can pre-reserve it, if you can put money down in advance. A lot of times, if you do change your mind by the time that it's released, and if you were to change your mind and say, hey, you know what, I don't want the Switch, you will be able to reallocate your money towards something else, mm-hmm. but you won't be able to lock it in unless you pre-reserve and put that money down first.
Even if you go and they say, hey, we're not taking pre-orders for the first batch of the Nintendo Switch, don't fret if you talk to a GameStop manager, and I'm sorry, I'm not advertising for GameStop, but if you talk to a GameStop manager or talk to a local location, they may be able to still take your pre-order for the second batch or even a third batch. If you're really set on getting it, it is better safe to pre-reserve it with a reputable retailer than trying to go on Craigslist or Facebook and buy it from someone you don't know.
And that's not always, you know, not getting the first batch of the console is not always a bad thing. I mean, we weren't able to get a NES Mini Classic on the first batch. But what you learn after it comes out helps you decide whether or not it's a right purchase for you. Now, the NES Mini Classic had a much lower price point. The Switch is an investment, so it may not hurt for you to get other people's feedback and see how it's working out for them before you walk in and put down $500 on everything you need to get going.
Exactly. Again, guys, we are here to answer any questions. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Send us an email. Any questions, even if it's just to say, hey, Michael or Camille, I don't understand how this works, feel free to reach out to us. That's what we're here for. We're here to help educate you guys on what is the best decisions to make for you and your gaming family. With that being said, I'm Michael.
I'm Camille.
And thank you so much for listening to our podcast. And again, this is a two-part podcast, and we'll have part two after the day of launch of the, you know, Nintendo Switch to give more feedback.
And remember, the family that plays together stays together.
Thank you so much for listening.